Hello, welcome to Rebrand. I'm Marcus Akira, voiceover actor and friend of Mort's since he was a burgeoning alcoholic in his mid-20s. Let me tell you, he seems like he's got it together now with his lovely wife and giant podcast, but back then, he smelled like a trash can fire and always trying to sell you a loose car stereo. Real sad stuff. Anyway, if you want to support the show, go join the Rebrand Patreon. You get access to the Discord, as well as all kinds of content like unedited and ad-free episodes. So check them out at Rebrand the Pod on Patreon. I'm doing it to help keep Mort on the straight and narrow. Trust me, you don't want to see him all pilled up. Also, my email is marcusakira@gmail.com. Hit me up if you want to hire me and my golden tonsils for any of your voiceover needs. Rebrand!
Hello, beloved consumers. I'm Ashley Birch.
And I'm Mort Burke.
Welcome to Rebrand. Do you like the way I said that?
Yeah. Say it again.
Rebrand.
Yeah, I like it because your voice, you put a little bit of Muppet on there.
Rebrand.
Yeah. Rebrand.
I like it when people can't hear or understand what the name of the podcast so that they are really confused about where they are.
Yeah, I think we should start misspelling it.
No vowels.
Yeah. Take the vowels out like Hypebeast style.
Yeah, perfect.
Just RBN. RBRND.
Oh, no.
It could be our license plate, too.
Perfect. Comedy podcast where we inject new life into tired old brands, whether they be snack food, celebrities, or religious institutions. I want to bring our guest immediately. Would you please introduce him?
From the very popular YouTube channel Funhouse, he's also a co-writer on Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. It's James Willems, everyone.
Hi, James.
Hey, everybody. I act like a writer.
I think that makes the most sense.
I act like a writer. Clarification. Yeah.
How does one act like a writer without actually being one? Is it like you go to a bar at 7 a.m.?
Well, I'm like an idea guy.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Like I have ideas and I often watch movies and like I'll say how they could have made it better.
Yeah.
Without ever putting pen to page.
Yeah. I wear vests and talk down to women.
That's how you act like a writer.
Yeah. That's good too. Yeah.
I have a writer friend named John, and he told me the story of this guy that he met at some sort of like, I think it was like some sort of WGA meetup or something. And he was like, he said, I've never heard him have such disdain for another person. He was like, this guy was like, I love writing, man. I just put my headphones in and I just go. It's my happy place. And John was like, go kill yourself.
Our professional writer. Yeah. Well, that amazing thing happened where the person was like, so during one of the writer strikes that the studios were like, we know they're going to come back eventually because they love writing. And then some high level writer is like, you obviously are not a writer. You would know it's all of our least favorite thing to do.
Yeah. We all hate that we do it.
Yeah. It's so fucking hard.
It's miserable.
But we're not here to talk about writing.
No way. No way.
We're here to rebrand.
I'm pissed that we talked about writing at all.
I am too. Yeah. Cut it out.
All right. Edited.
Edited.
Yep.
James brings us our rebrand topic. Would you like to intro it, James?
Yeah. I had a couple ideas. I think a lot in this world needs a rebrand, and I'm glad you guys are doing this show.
Thank you. It's a public
necessary.
Service. Yeah.
It's many necessary. Blessings. Many blessings.
But I thought maybe there's a great opportunity to rebrand something I love, motorcycles.
So you own a motorcycle, right?
I own a motorcycle. I've been a motorcycle driver since I was 21.
Wow. Oh,
I didn't know that long. Wow.
About 20 years I've owned a motorcycle. I think they're awesome.
Yeah. And also living in Los Angeles, the Highway 1 to the north is some of the most beautiful driving on the globe. It's up against the ocean right there, and then you end up in those cliffs and stuff.
Yeah.
So driving a motorcycle there must feel like you're both the world's strongest man and on mushrooms.
Well, you're simultaneously invincible and vulnerable. It's like, have you ever played a video game where it's like one hit kills?
Yes.
Right?
That's
honestly, maybe that's what we need to figure out today.
That's we need to what figure being, out.
Yeah, that's what being a motorcycle driver is, because you're like, I have this engine between my thighs. I'm connected to it organically from the twist of my wrist. I can go faster, slower. I can turn left, right.
It's like a faster mech suit.
It's exactly like that. But the problem is, if you get nudged, you're dead.
If someone looks at you wrong.
Pretty much.
If somebody says, watch out too loud.
Yeah, you're still flying into the sun. So the current brand of motorcycles dangerous.
Well,
right?
Yes. Well, although the current brand is really like, you know, you got to go back to the Hell's Angels. There's definitely like a macho outlaw thing for sure. Yes.
For sure. Do you think that's still the current brand though?
They still for sure utilize that as part of the branding. There's still an element of like, even though it's mostly 46-year-old divorced men, they still are like, nudge, nudge. Actually, you're still kind of an outlaw.
Wild hogs. Because I gave my kind of perception. What is your perception of, maybe I'm universally applying that everyone thinks motorcycles are cool. What do you, how do you guys feel about motorcycles?
Well, Mort obviously thinks that they only belong to AARP adjacent members.
Which isn't inaccurate.
But there's a difference between the people that I think actually ride motorcycles and the way which they're trying to sell motorcycles to us. I want to give my answer, and I also want to hear your answer.
Well, I actually don't, maybe it's because we live in LA, but I don't immediately go to Hell's Angels, Big Beards, you know, leather jackets anymore. I kind of go to more the like the Bride and Kill Bill look a little bit more like sleek, fast, honestly, kind of practical for where we live. I feel like people look genuinely cool when they are on motorcycles in LA. It's not like I'm, you know, pushing 80 and this is the only form of identity I have. It's like actually like people look cool when they're on motorcycles.
Yeah.
Is my perception of it. But also I'm like, they're going to die. Like, I just think every single time I see a motorcyclist white lining, which if you don't know what that is, it's when they literally ride the white line between cars. It happens all the time in LA. When I first moved here, I was like fucking just the level of anxiety. I was like, someone could open their car and behead you, like open their door and behead you. I just don't understand. But now that I've lived here long enough, I'm like, well, I guess they get places so much faster than I do. So there is that.
Yeah.
The dangerous part is the biggest part for me, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool and dangerous. Like drugs.
Cool and dangerous. Like drugs.
Yeah.
And you, honey?
Well, I guess I misspoke because I don't think it is exclusively 53-year-old men. There's an element of it that is a little bit of like midlife crisis thing, which I'm also in currently. Mm-hmm. So I obviously want a motorcycle. But I know that Ashley wouldn't be happy with that because it's probably too dangerous.
Yes.
So mommy says no. So the friends that I have are cool, interesting dudes who have responsible lives and want a little bit of an outlet. You know, that's sort of how I see it. And personally, I don't know, I read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance when I was probably like 23 or something. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm in the process of really trying, I want to get a convertible because I do love the idea of being connected to the outside. Somebody said this funny thing of like, I don't like nature, but I do like driving fast next to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but there is something about being, you're outdoors and you're going quickly is like you had the fastest legs in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I mean, I think we've kind of touched on that there are different, because I agree with both of you. I think motorcycles are cool. But I also understand if you go outside of LA, you get people who, okay, you're retired and you bought this really big Harley and you ride it on weekends. You know, but you still have a three-car garage with an SUV and stuff like that. So I think there's that perception, which lands more in the 53-year-old kind of like middle America motorcyclist.
Right.
But then we have the other side, which is the practical LA motorcycles cost, I want to say, an eighth as much as a car.
Mm-hmm.
They use a fraction of the gasoline. And in some ways, if it's just you, might be the most practical way to get around a city that doesn't have great public transportation.
Right.
The Peter Parker effect. I always like Peter Parker bought a motorcycle in like the comic books, like when he went to college. Mm. And like he bought this scrappy little thing or whatever. And I was like, nice, nice.
Even though he can zip around as Spider-Man?
I guess he had to, you know, this is when he's going to class.
I see.
You know, I guess it would have been suspicious if he always came in through the roof.
I want to ask, given that we've talked about the fact that it's dangerous, I'm just curious what your wife, our beloved friend Elise Willems, thinks of your motorcycling habit.
Well, the good thing, I know she definitely thinks it's dangerous and she doesn't like it. I think she trusts me. She trusts me to be as much of a limiting factor on that as possible, which is to say that ever since I got a motorcycle when I was 21, I was in college. I couldn't afford a car. Basically, I was Peter Parker. I couldn't afford a car but I could get a brand new motorcycle for like $2,500. Mm. And so I was like, oh, this would like really solve a lot for me. I lived off campus and I was like, this really, and I don't have to do anything or whatever. So I ended up getting that. And, but I bought a small, slow motorcycle.
Ah.
Because I was like, I am not doing this to break the sound barrier. It felt practical, like stupid, but practical. And so that was my perception from the beginning. It's kind of always maintained that. I commuted in LA for a really long time, which is crazy to think about now. But I tried to do it as responsibly as possible. I didn't go out to the hills and weave through traffic and stuff like that. I did split lanes, but I would do it at a stoplight, right? Like some people do it on the highway. Right. Everyone's going 45 and they go 65 between cars, which is crazy to me. But if it was a stoplight and everyone was stopped, I would then go into the middle and go to the front light. So I would do that, but I felt like that's the safest version of stupidity.
Right.
And I think she's always seen that to be the case. So she trusts that I will be responsible with it. I'm sure if she had her druthers, I would never ride a motorcycle ever.
How often do you take it out?
Not very often, honestly. And now as an adult, because I bought a new motorcycle in 2013, a bigger one, which I was like, bigger, safer. I don't know if that's true.
I feel like maybe not, because if it falls on top of you, it's more pounds.
That's true. That is true. But it mostly hangs out in my garage, and I only ride in groups now. So I have a couple friends.
Gang? Yeah.
I do, yeah. Yeah, the Moto Boys. We call ourselves, we have a text group called the Moto Boys.
No.
And we'll drive to like Griffith Park, and we'll be like, let's do a route around Griffith, or let's like, we'll plan a route, and then we'll do like around Pasadena, but we'll ride as a group. So generally three of us, so we can watch each other and take up kind of more space on the road. And we also all have collectively agreed that we're too old to go on highways.
Mm. Uh-huh.
So we don't do like LA highways. We mostly stick to streets or, you know, stuff like that. So now the risk is way more minimal. But even with all that responsibility, I did get into a bad motorcycle accident in my
20s. Oh, really?
So, you know, like even that's the whole thing is like, I say to anyone, motorcycles are awesome, but like you cannot avoid the statistic. Like,
totally.
Like,
what
I think
was
it's
your accident.
I was going down the 5, which for anyone who isn't in LA knows is like a major highway that runs north and south on the east side of Los Angeles. And I think I was headed to my job at G4 Television at the time, and it was the middle of the day, and I was heading south. And there's when you're going through Burbank, there's a slight bend. It turns slightly so it can go around the mountains of Griffith Park. And I noticed as I was driving that there was gravel in the two or three outer lanes. And I went
motorcyclist kryptonite.
Which is basically everything, but one of the many elements of kryptonite for a motorcycle. But I was like, well, the thing you learn in motorcycle driving school, which I didn't take, but still, the thing you learn is like, when you see this, you should try and not turn through it. You should go straight, right? If there's gravel, you should just try and go straight through it so the bike isn't leaning or anything when you're doing it. And I was like, but I'm in the right lane. If I go straight, I hit the highway railing. It was an overpass. And so I was like, so that's not an option. But this is all happening in the span of like 0.6 seconds.
So it's either, so very quickly, it's like, okay, they either get tossed into the sky or go down.
And so in my brain, I went, I should try and turn. And exactly what you would think would happen was happened. The tires just completely went out and I slid and then went sliding down the highway. But luckily, the person behind me was paying attention, so they saw this happen and slowed. And then I remember going down and then sliding on the highway and thinking, please don't let this be so bad that I have to go to the hospital because I didn't have health insurance.
That was like enough time to think that. Yeah.
So if I had died, the last thought through my head would have been, please don't let this be so bad that I have to go to the hospital. And then lights out.
I feel like you just maybe spoke the most American sentence that anyone's ever spoken.
I know. I slid. And as soon as I was slow enough to get to my feet, I stood up and just got out off the road. And then I saw that the car behind me stopped. And then I got the bike off the road. And then I basically waited there. An ambulance did show up. And I said, get away from me. I remember saying, I was like, stay away from me. And they were like, how can we help?
Yeah.
And I had like pretty bad road rash and just carried my bike off. And then eventually a friend picked me up and I went to a CVS and I bought a bunch of gauze and then I covered myself. And then I think I bought a car like 2 weeks later or something after that.
Yeah.
I was like, All right, dude, well.
I got hit by a car in Chicago and they're like, do you want us to call the hospital? I was like, do I look like Jay-Z? Of course
no.
not.
Yeah. Stay away from me.
So road rash, was it like gnarly bad scrapes that hurt a lot, or was it sort of just like light abrasions but all over?
There was some really gnarly stuff. The good thing is it was cold. So I had worn an extra layer of like basically fleece underneath my jacket to just, because I was like, I'm going to be cold. And so that took some of it, but I completely ruined like a pair of jeans. Like they were just gone. And I still have my sneakers that I was wearing. I was wearing some New Balance shoes and it just eviscerated them.
Wow.
But I was overall, I could walk, nothing was broken. And and I always wear a helmet. That's the other thing about which we need to talk about in the rebrand.
Right.
Is helmet laws.
Yes.
I don't understand states that don't have them.
It's crazy.
It's crazy to me for a couple reasons. One, because even though you're already a one-hit kill, like this is now even more so a one-hit kill. But two, everyone looks cooler with the helmet.
Right. You're anonymous. You look like you could be on a fucking spy mission. You're just you're like more sleek, more cool. You get to do the thing where you take the helmet off. And if you're a woman or have long hair, my God.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You get to fucking swish that shit around.
Yep. The post-helmet show off.
The post-helmet show off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're a Sentai, essentially.
Yeah.
And so I never understood not having a helmet, not wearing a helmet or whatever. So I always obviously wore a helmet, but it was funny because my helmet, when I like took it off and looked at it, the most jagged slash of something, asphalt or whatever, like right down here. Like I looked like I would have become like a Final Fantasy character. I would have been like Squall or something. It was just so funny where it was showing you like, this is why you wear a helmet.
Yeah.
It would have just sliced you down the side of your face, basically.
Yeah. Something would have just taken a huge slice down the middle of my face and you could see it on the helmet. And I was like, okay, all right, okay.
You would have looked cool though.
Yeah, it would have been sick.
Shockingly, Ashley takes the anti-helmet.
I don't know about helmets anymore, guys.
I feel like to me, the branding is inarguably male. Like there is a masculinity to the thing.
Sure.
And here you're saying there's definitely like the hot, sleek Uma Thurman and Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, every movie in the 90s that was like an action movie had a woman rolling up on a motorcycle and having the post-helmet show off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was for sure a thing. But yes, I think... The majority of people that own motorcycles are male, probably.
One untapped market for the motorcyclists is the weirdo guy on the bike who's two bikes high. You know, what I'm talking
like
about?
Like the craft bike?
Yeah, if you'll see like if there's like a bunch of bike people riding bikes in like a big large group, let's say, sometimes they do that, you know what I mean? Some like out and about bike ride. There's usually somebody who has a bike and a second frame of the bike is welded to it, so it's very tall.
Oh.
And usually that guy has like a top hat or maybe he's juggling or something.
Sure, sure, sure.
I would like to see at least one very tall motorcycle.
I'm with you. Do we feel like that would help mitigate accidents?
That would make
James is shaking his head.
Yeah, no, it's significantly more dangerous and less cool, but I would like it. If I saw it, I would kind of go,
sure, sure.
Yeah. I could see a world, because bike customization is like a big thing that we should talk about, right?
Yeah, heck yeah.
People will customize, they'll put the high handlebars on stuff.
Totally.
But something like that, that kind of customization would probably reduce your top speed considerably.
That's true.
Yep.
Thus reducing the odds of injury.
Yeah. Like max 20 miles an hour. It's real slow putting down the road.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff, you'll see these like, probably not in California because they have stricter rules, but I was just in Curaçao, which is a Caribbean island, and I saw some motorcycles and I was like, this is what a world without regulations looks like.
Mm.
Because there were some motorcycles like sport bikes and they had the rear tire, they had extended it way back. They had like added an extender, so it looked like an anime bike, but also kind of weird. So whereas you would normally think like tire proportionate to where you're sitting or whatever, this is like this one tire is just way in the back.
Yeah,
was that so they could seat another person, or was it just for vibes?
I think it's a vibes.
Yo, we need a penny farthing motorcycle.
Oh,
one giant wheel, one little tiny wheel. Yeah, you know, in the back. This, I'm all about the world, because there's also like the Oakland very serious customization world that I know about, which is like, you know, they're assembling all these. Whatever, but I know that there's an entire history and culture around like specific 50s and 60s style bike frames. Sure. So I'm saying the opposite.
But you want a unicycle equivalent. You want an old timey.
I like that.
I totally want a unicycle motorcycle. That one should go only 70 miles an hour. That one is fast. Nobody can really man it very well. Screaming like, ah!
The gears on it. Have you ever seen someone ride a penny farthing? Like the amount, because there's no gear. It's just like the amount of effort that they have to push to change that giant, move that giant wheel around. Yeah, that's great.
I feel like what you're pitching would make motorcycles so uncool that they would actually like, it would lower their, it would lower their social cachet in a way that would reduce accidents because people wouldn't buy them anymore.
And you know that the people are still doing it really like it. Because, like, you know, we said the phrase theater nerds earlier. Like, if these theater nerds are doing it and you're sticking with it, it means you really love it. This is another version, a little bit of what you're talking about. I think the other thing is we should do a lot of really, like, hyper-feminized branding as well. With, like, lots of pink bikes and Hello Kitties and big, soft onesie style protective suits and helmets.
Oh, now you're talking my language.
You know what I mean? Like real cozy and soft, and like you can roll the bike and do a bunch of like somersaults down the road and you won't even feel it, you know? Yeah.
Should we actively market to furries?
Yes.
God, James, I've been waiting for someone to say this on this podcast. Yes.
Yo, if you're driving down the 10 and you see 11 different, like, well-crafted furry outfits and they're riding motorcycles and you're like, oh, that's weird. It's like a purple skunk. And then 11 more come past you.
Incredible.
Made me so happy.
I mean, it's all the stuff anyway, right? Like, it's foot protection, it's hand protection, it's head protection. And then, you know, have you ever seen those videos? I feel like this is like early internet stuff of that guy who built the anti-bear suit.
No.
Some guy was like, I'm tired of bears picking on me. And so I'm going to build a suit so they can't do it anymore. And so he built like an Iron Man suit. And then, but because you can't just be like, all right, now let's find a bear. He would test it in other ways. So he'd like have a car with a mattress on the front, like hit him, like, or like someone would like swings, like he'd have his arm out and they'd like try and break a bat over his arm, or he'd throw himself down. You could have an armored suit, like an Iron Man armored suit.
Yes.
That is essentially a furry outfit that would protect you from anything.
Yes. Beautiful idea. And also the motorcycle has a tail on it.
I think usually furries, look, I don't know a lot about furries. And I feel like with the amount that we've talked about them on this podcast, I really should do my research.
We need to have a furry on.
We do. We need to find a furry.
Side note, very often not sexual. The punchline is that they're all horny as hell. And a lot of them are, but some of them are non-sexual furries.
But I feel like there's probably your like primary animal that you like to dress up as. But you probably have like a secondary for the horny ones, of which I'm still convinced there are many. They probably have like, they're a fox and they want to fuck a skunk. Or they're a horse and they want to fuck a tiger. You could have the motorcycle have a body that looks like whatever animal you wish to be paired with.
Yeah.
So it could be, you know what I mean? Like you're in a horse outfit, motorcycle looks like a kitty cat.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. In the same way that sometimes in the 1970s homosexual community, they would have a certain handkerchief that would suggest what they were into.
Sure.
You're communicating to others, I want to fuck you like I'm riding this horse.
This goat motorcycle.
Is this supposed to signal out, or is this just like, this satiates?
I think this satiates.
Okay.
I think this is just for the benefit. It just makes them feel good to be on top of a motorcycle that is shaped like a whale. Are any furries into whales? Don't think so. But, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The animal of choice.
And it's like very artful and creative and expressive.
Yes.
As well. You know, that's kind of, I was driving on the highway the other day, the Philadelphia style like motorcycle tricks and shit, where they're doing a wheelie and standing on the seat, which I'm like, hell yeah. Like, I don't know. To me, that like brightens my day where I'm like, it makes it, you know, all of a sudden something kind of like surreal and fun is happening. It helps like the commuting traffic boredom.
That's true. We need that in LA.
And I think this will do that times like 10, basically. Can I tell one story real quick that is very much like the guy in the bear suit, which is we always thought this video was so funny of this dude who he wanted to like interact with deer. And it's, he's 50 and his wife's holding the camera. So he covered himself in deer urine. And what happens is this deer comes up and freaks the fuck out and pins him down and starts making the sound. I've never heard a deer. It goes like, ah, and starts like beating the shit out of him. With his fucking incredibly powerful deer hoof. I just think that's so funny that that's a deer's reaction to a man who smells like deer piss.
What do you think the deer thought he was?
I don't know. Also, we are having this thing, a side note in the house, where whenever Ashley makes a cat noise, like a meow that is too accurate to resembling a cat sound, our cat Kevin comes over and tries to fight Ashley.
Yeah, she tries to
attack. Oh. Yeah. What do you think? Any idea what you might be saying?
I feel like I must be saying a cat slur. Yeah. I must be saying something deeply insulting and aggressive because she like slinks down and comes at me and fucking hisses and attacks me.
Yeah. Wow.
The other day I wasn't even trying to make a cat noise. I was just making a weird noise because that's what I do. She had none of it. She was fucking pissed.
It's not cool because one of Ashley's favorite things is to make weird noises around the house.
I know.
Yeah. It's terrible.
I wanted to say too earlier when you said that you have the Moto Boys, that I do feel like that is another leg of this rebrand possibly, is that it's a communal activity.
Dude, and we all need community so badly. It's
like we talk about there not being the third space, right? Like we used to have third spaces. We had home, work, and then some sort of communal space. Why not make the entire city your third space by getting some of you know, your bros together on your hogs, as it were.
Yeah.
And having a fun time cruising around Los Angeles.
I heard this thing about skateboarding the other day that it said that it rewilds the environment that it's being performed in. Okay. And I feel similarly about motorcycles. I think we like that about the danger because our civilization is so into formalizing experiences and curating wildness so that it's not actually wild. So that's the thing about the motorcycle is it like it rewilds the experience that you're having a little bit, you know?
Interesting. Well, I'm more curious about the skateboarding. Is it just like the idea that someone might like right by you that you're like, ah!
Well, it turns this space, which is dedicated to sitting and standing, let's say like an urban plaza, which is just made for walking through. And all of a sudden there's loud sounds. There's kids and teenagers running around. There's people performing an activity that seems strange and foreign. You don't quite understand, but you vaguely understand that there's a grace and strength and beauty to it. And it's anti-land ownership in a way. That's why you're always getting thrown out by cops and shit. So that's the rewilding.
Well, my take of it was that you're utilizing the space, the physical space, in a way that it wasn't intended in its design. That's sort of how I took, like, you know, if there's a handrail, it's not there by design for skateboarders to grind, but that is what they do on it.
Right. So it's inherently, because of that, it's inherently rebellious. And it's the same thing with motorcycles, which is why I think people are always going to be like, well, I'm not going to wear a goddamn helmet, because there's something about it that it, like for skateboarding, I know the appeal a little bit is like, well, yeah, my fucking cops don't like this. Like, but there should be something that my parents don't really love. So I think we all have that element inside of us a little bit.
To the point about helmets as well, I feel like since it is, A, as you said, James, they just look cool. I don't know why you wouldn't wear one. Also, if you're furry, you can wear your, you know, your animal head of choice. But also there is a thing that we could maybe implement, which is that if you don't like in all new models of motorcycles, if you're not wearing a helmet, you cannot exceed 15 miles per hour. You put something in there so that's like the motorcycle can tell if you're wearing the helmet or not. And if you're not wearing the helmet, you can
like
ride.
Like a seatbelt.
Yeah, I think people will really hate that.
Oh, yeah.
They will hate that. They'll definitely find workarounds. I think it might be more about like figuring out how to make sure the helmets are even cooler.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Like, because no one thinks of the Predator and goes, my favorite part is when it has the mandibles, right? Like,
yeah, right.
They like when it has the sleek thing and it can do the targeting with three dots. Like, maybe we just need to open up helmet customization. So it could be like a full dragon schematic on it or something like that. We need to advance that technology so it isn't just the same kind of like visor down design or something like that. We need to figure that out.
For sure. I'm sure there's plenty of people too that would love sort of like a vintage, well, I was going to say World War II helmet, but that has certain connotations. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
lots of helmets with one spike on the top. Yeah.
Two letters. I don't know. SS. I don't know. I'm just, just throwing stuff around. But yeah. I think that's really cool that there's way more of an opportunity for stuff. Yeah, why not get one that looks like RoboCop's head?
There's also, to your point about the Predator or the Terminator, why can't we put some little ARG something or other in the visor of the helmet, you know?
Yeah.
Have it have some sort of heads-up display when you put it down. That makes you feel like Iron Man.
Yeah.
I think some helmets do have that now.
Really?
Yeah,
I think some helmets do have that where they'll tell you your speed and what direction you're headed and like what song's playing.
That's now. Sick.
Hell
it's
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and like when in the first Terminator when he walks through the bar, my friend Connor always said this funny thing that it's like it does that where it like flashes on the different items as though it's like categorizing them.
Uh-huh.
And then it briefly lands on a guy's beard. And he's like, that's funny that it's going like, that's a beard. but yeah, it's like that where it tells you the cars and the how quickly they're going, and also can give you like a cyborg style scope that's about to that the direction that you look plans your route for you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's sort of like predictive in a way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I think the technology, we need the technology for to advance. We're getting stuff like those Ray-Bans that have cameras in them. I was at an event not too long ago and I saw someone I hadn't seen in a while, so I was chatting with them, and it wasn't until probably like 5 or 10 minutes into the conversation that I realized they were wearing those Ray-Bans that have the cameras.
Whoa, like, really?
I was like, I think we need to disclose.
Yeah.
I think he was just wearing them as sunglasses, but
right. Yeah, but that's a pervert's dream right there.
There's just something about that. I feel like, but we have the technology, right? We can put that stuff in these. There's these things you can wear, I mean, anywhere, but like on airplanes, which are just glasses, but it projects like an AR movie screen. So if you like want to watch movies on the plane, you can like have this whole screen in front of you and pin it. Get that in the helmets. Get in the helmets.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you should be able to watch The Matrix while you're going 70 miles an hour on the highway.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Why shouldn't you be? This is America.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you guys heard about The Matrix in 12K?
No.
I was supposed to go. I think by the time this podcast is out, I will have not gone because of the scheduling conflict. But there's a, like, you know the Sphere in Vegas?
Yeah.
Sure.
There's a place like that in LA down by SoFi Stadium.
Oh, Cosm, right?
The Cosm.
Yeah.
And they're doing The Matrix in 12K.
How does that even work?
It looks like it's either the best thing or the worst thing.
Yeah.
So it's a giant, they basically have enough screen space that they have the movie playing in a square in front of you the size as it would be on a movie screen. And they have a bunch of extra screen around it that they fill with stuff.
Like what?
So like in the examples I saw, when Neo and Morpheus are fighting in the dojo, they basically rebuilt the dojo so it like now you're in the dojo too, watching them in the dojo. Or like when something happens in the Matrix, they'll have all the numbers fall across the whole dome. They're like, it's like screen extended, but not like exact. It's not like AI screen extended. It's just like what's the vibe of happening in this scene, and then it'll fill it out.
Yeah, it's like full Matrix immersion
scene extensions, but made 20 plus years later.
Yeah. And it actually smells like Lawrence Fishburne in there. You're like, oh nice.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I can just tell that this is what it smelled like.
yeah.
So we have...
So high tech, we got furries, we got hyper-feminized, I know that like there is a world of people who want the opposite of tech. Like it's the same thing with cars. Like all your true car fans, they don't want the screens in there.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't want the high tech stuff. Some people do, great, let's give them that. And then other people, you can like reduce the technology. I would also like motorcycles larger than a car.
How much larger?
Okay.
I'm going to say two cars big. I just like it when things are made larger or smaller.
Uh-huh.
So I want like I want a motorcycle that looks exactly like a Kawasaki or, you know,
real big.
Well, the big one I think should be a Harley. Like, cause you know how what are the highly extended handlebars?
Yeah.
Those should be like 15 feet in the air.
Are you saying big in the set, like if you were making something in Photoshop and you clicked on the upper right corner and you just dragged it out, like everything scales yes. evenly larger.
Yes, as though it okay. was like somebody magic potioned it to be three or, times larger than it was.
Have you ever seen like those like in the mines in like Africa where they have these trucks that look like trucks we see, like they look like dump trucks, but then a man walks in front of it and you realize he's only coming up halfway on like the bottom of the tire.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then you realize the scale. That's what you're talking about. Like that as a motorcycle.
That's what I'm talking about. Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. And the guy's probably, he's probably basically standing fully upright because it's so
okay.
huge.
Okay, I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
Okay,
like a Gallagher set.
Yeah,
like
yeah, set. Almost exactly like a lot okay. of my humor is really based on the first two Gallagher specials.
Well, that's why you're funny, Mort. That's why you're funny.
Yeah, yeah, and it's all Sledge-O-Matic stuff or whatever that his watermelon slammer thing.
Okay,
was.
So bigger.
Yeah, and I love his politics. But moving on.
So then this right. So if you'd be standing, I guess it would be if you're standing, it would be like double your height, probably, right?
Yep,
and then
yep.
the seat.
Yes.
You could have your whole family on that bad boy.
You could have your whole...
Maybe that's... You're talking about community.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe driving a motorcycle should be a multi-person task.
Yes.
Like someone... Like it's so... The motorcycle is so large at this point that someone is like, I'm working the brakes. And then someone's like, I'm working the throttle.
Yeah.
And then the two twins are going like, we're steering. Like you could have like four or five people. It's like Swiss Family Robinson motorcycle.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. Because I feel okay. like with the, you know, family road trips and stuff,
yep.
you mm-hmm. get the kids start complaining. They get bored.
Yeah. Nobody's engaged
Give
enough.
No one's engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. And also like family tension really, I think, would evaporate when you're going 70 miles an hour.
I agree.
And it's incumbent on you to hit the brakes because you're the 17-year-old girl who's been assigned the brakes.
You didn't want to be on the throttle, Stephanie. So you are now in charge of not killing the entire family. That's responsibility.
That's right. Yeah. That's better than therapy, family therapy, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It also makes me think of when you mentioned that they're kind of like mech suits, you know, the Voltrons of our past, of our past culture. Like that is what it is. You know, someone's at the head, someone controls an arm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It really is making it a mech suit of a kind.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And I think the advertising campaign, which I always love to talk about.
Sure.
I think we have a commercial where Gary Busey is riding a motorcycle, but then so is like...
Are we sure Gary Busey? Because he...
Allow me to finish.
Go ahead.
But then so is like Jessica Alba. And then so is like AOC. And then so is... I don't know. Somebody who's like...
Oh,
like,
everybody?
Everyone is all... They're all riding motorcycles. So you can ride one too. Don't you think there's part... Well, I'll ask you, honey. Is there any part of you that wants to ride a motorcycle?
I'm going to tell you... Gary Busey riding a motorcycle is not going to be the selling point. It's not going to be the thing that gets me on the hog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seeing Busey at the throttle is not what's going to get me going.
What if he's screaming gibberish?
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Okay, but the reason he's screaming gibberish is because of motorcycles. We know that, right?
Right.
Because Gary Busey was fine, and then he got into a motorcycle accident, and it ruined his brain, and that's why Gary Busey's weird.
All right,
we're aware of that. Trying to tell you.
Now I gotta cut that whole fucking bit.
It's a well-known thing. He's fine with it, I'm sure.
Are we sure it wasn't a little bit drugs? Come on.
It probably, I mean, maybe while he was on the motorcycle, but I'm pretty sure it's well documented that he had a massive personality change after brain damage from a motorcycle accident. But again, this was Three-Point Break. Like, this was, like, way back.
Oh, yeah. So it didn't ruin his charisma because he's charismatic as hell in Point
Break.
Yeah,
but
he's been cookie for a minute. And he's been making money off of it.
So maybe it's a situation where that's his origin story.
Are you trying to go the pro brain damage route?
He's like, if I can learn to love motorcycles again, so can you.
Well, I got into a motorcycle accident, and then I became a true Hollywood star.
Yeah.
It changed my personality so much so that he has access to another realm that allows him to improvise lines like Utah, Gimme Two in such a way that it's commanded our imagination for decades.
Yeah, I mean, there's a mural of it on, I think, a hot dog place in L.A.
Yeah, he really wanted that sandwich.
Yeah. I have a Gary Busey story, actually. So I was working with a makeup artist and she was, I think I was talking to her about people that she had previously done makeup for. She said that Gary Busey was probably the kookiest person that she had done makeup for. And she was like, you know, he requested that I come to his trailer. And I was like, oh no, I don't know. I don't like where this story is going. It turns out it wasn't like, I assumed it was going a sort of sexual assaulty mode. It was just going a sort of like a prankster trickster mode. He would just dodge her makeup brush. he would just sort of move around in such a way that she couldn't do her job. So he'd be like, oh, not gonna get me, not gonna get me. And he would just move around in such a way that she like could not put makeup on him. That was a little joke he liked to play.
Do you think he's having that kind of wholesome fun before this motorcycle
Exactly. That should be part of the branding.
I did a short film with Eric Roberts one time, who's sort of a brunette Gary Busey, maybe.
Uh-huh.
He was kind of being a little loud, whatever, a little wacky. And then I kind of broke him during one take. And then he looked at me after the take and put his hand on my shoulder and goes, platinum, baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know,
but it felt like so wonderfully old Hollywood. Yeah. You know?
I thought you were going to say he told you to meet him in his trailer. Yeah. And then he came with the brush.
Yeah. Yeah. He was dodging my brush and his penis was out. So it was both.
It was both.
Yeah.
2-for-1. So we may or may not have Gary Busey in the commercial.
Well, okay. I want to go back to what we had asked you, Ash, though, which is there any part of you that would be like, I want to ride a motorcycle?
I think the closest we've gotten is to me wanting to hop on that old hog. Is, and not in the sexual area, I mean a motorcycle, is that if there was a sort of onesie that was like Udi adjacent, when you talked about there being like a cute, fluffy motorcycle outfit that was also protective, I was like, okay, I can kind of get behind that. And then also, I sort of like the old-timey, weird penny farthing, one big wheel, one tiny wheel situation. Yeah. I think I would enjoy a motorcycle if it could not exceed 30 miles an hour. And if I was competing in wacky races. Actually, I like the idea of having one job and that it's not, the onus is not just on me to keep myself alive. Our sort of like Swiss Family Robinson motorcycle.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah. I think I don't trust myself to keep myself alive on a death machine.
Yeah.
It's a miracle I'm alive currently with me not riding a motorcycle. Yeah. So I think also if there was some... sort of, I'm basically just going to describe a car, but if you had like a protective shield around you, but it was all see-through.
Okay.
You know, so you could get this sort of feeling of being outside.
Yeah.
But I'm still in a protective Bubble Boy-esque box.
Yo, this is great. It's like that giant hamster wheel at the music festivals, but there's a motorcycle inside.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. And it really, that really does remove all of the cool from it.
Oh, well, yeah.
I want to offer something up here and I want to get both of your vibes on it. So one of the Moto boys, he has two motorcycles.
Okay.
One is a motorcycle that you think of when you close your eyes.
Uh-huh.
If you're one of those people that imagines things, because I know we recently found out like within the last 10 years that there are people who picture nothing when they imagine stuff, right?
That's so crazy. I don't understand.
If I say Apple and you picture like a cartoon, but not like a fully realistic Apple, that motorcycle that you're picturing when I say motorcycle, he has one of those.
Okay.
But he also has a Russian motorcycle with a sidecar. It's like a classic, like if now something Indiana Jones would shove his dad into and then they escape, you know, dressed as Nazis,
yes.
Right? Like he has exactly one of those types of motorcycles. He got it special and that's what he generally rides when we go for. Now it's interesting because you lose a lot of the mobility and the sense of speed, but there's stability.
Now,
he had to like essentially relearn how to ride that bike because he would like put sacks of potatoes in it to be okay, when I'm turning left, when I'm turning right, when I'm stopping and all these things, how does it feel with the added weight off to the side? Because it changes how a motorcycle works. Does that sound more appealing to you? Would you be like, oh yeah, I'd ride in a sidecar, no questions asked?
Absolutely.
I
love the idea of being a passenger. I love the idea also of like seeing a dog in one of those with like a little scarf on.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some goggles on some dogs that are riding next to a motorcycle and it is so charming you want to pass away.
Yeah, I love the idea of a sidecar. I know that it completely defeats the purpose, but could you add sidecars to some of these sleek boys that people love so much?
That's really fun. Like an ultra-modern like speed bike that has a sidecar.
But it's in the same design.
Yeah.
No, it's also kind of like sleek and narrow.
I think we should look into it, if nothing else.
What about in the sidecar, you're laying down face first, like you're flying like a superhero style? You know,
like when Jim Gordon takes control of the Batmobile and it pulls them in.
Oh, okay.
Totally, right?
I'm kind of into that. And you have like a little peephole.
Yeah.
A little submarine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Well, you would die so immediately, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't know, though. You wouldn't know. You'd be like, that thing's coming in fast.
Yeah, it'd be painless. Yeah. Yeah, you'd be totally beheaded.
I don't think there would be a head to find.
Just evaporates.
Yeah, I think it would evaporate into a mist.
I mentioned earlier that I was in a Caribbean island. one of the activities that I did was an aqua safari, and it was essentially a scooter underwater. So you basically get into the ocean, and then there's a seat that has a place for your feet, and then you duck your head under the water, and then you pop up, and then you're in like a diving bell that's the size of your head, and you're looking through a port. You're like a big daddy, and then you're looking through this porthole, but the rest of you from your neck down is underwater. And then you reach around it, and then there's handles, and then you press a button, it turns on a fan. So then you like, and then you just go underwater, and you can turn it so that way you're like steering it. It's like a little underwater scooter, and it's connected to a buoy. So you never change your depth, right? Uh-huh. It's always at the depth of the buoy. And then we were just puttering around like that underwater. I don't know. Is there something we can pull from this to make our perfect motorcycle?
No, they did our job for us. Just for my own personal edification, I want to see photos of that. We should also have sky versions of that that are basically attached to smaller hot air balloons.
Oh, okay. So you don't want a full like a pirate ship watchtower thing. You want it to be suspended from like a rope and flying.
I think both of those are excellent ideas.
Yeah.
Because I think like a land pirate would also do very well.
How fast we think this vehicle can go?
130 miles an hour.
I feel like if we want to make this mainstream, the speed, we have to figure out a way to maintain the sense of speed while reducing the actual speed. So part of the reason I don't feel like going fast on a motorcycle is because when you're going 35 miles an hour, it feels like when you're going 60 in a car.
Right.
And when you're going 70 on a bike, it feels like you're going 150 miles. Like the wind hitting you, like literally when you're going that fast, it feels like you're always in a state of being pulled off the bike. And so I've never understood people that fly at like, I'm like, how fast do you think you're going? But it's all about the sense of speed. Maybe what we need is a fan.
Yeah.
Right.
On the front of the bike that goes, that spins up. If you're going like 20, it just hits you with it, right?
Yeah. Big, cumbersome fan.
Yes. Industrial strength.
Yeah. That is unpleasantly loud and powerful. Yeah. Also replicating the engine sounds and the whipping of the wind, all that stuff, right? The sound is a huge sensation.
Well, that would also work because one of the things you pointed out earlier was how there's this like analog, like we're moving into a digital age, but there's something about having that engine, and car enthusiasts, they don't like the idea of electric cars because they want the gasoline. I don't think electric bikes are very popular because of that same philosophy. But if we just get some, like a kid's toy, we just get some parts moving around in there, you don't know what they do.
Yeah,
it makes
just
a sound,
bits just like clanking about.
Yeah. That's pretty funny too. I'm thinking about kids' toys like Fisher Price, like little plastic motorcycles, you know? What if we just made those normal sized and put an engine in them?
I'm trying to find an image of this underwater thing for you.
Yeah. We can post it on the Instagram too.
He shared a file.
Oh, sweet. Okay, awesome. Oh my dude.
This is incredible.
Dude, it looks great.
It was a lot of fun.
Have
you ever been scuba diving before?
No.
It felt honestly way more claustrophobic than just scuba diving.
Really?
Because like scuba diving, you're like, yeah, I guess I'm just swimming. This was like, there's constantly like the bubbling, like you feel like you're in a Bond trap or whatever. Like the hose is attached and it's always feeding fresh air into the bubble. And so there's like a certain like, Jesus Christ, what's going on?
Like that old Radiohead video
he's in the fishbowl. It's exactly like that, but it never changes. But every once in a while, you're like, I'm going to die in here.
Yeah.
But it was a lot
of
fun.
We're now talking about a thing that no one can see.
I apologize.
Audio pod. No, it's not your fault. I badly wanted to see this.
Yeah, I really wanted to see it.
It's basically James in what looks like a yellow motorcycle with a helmet, like you described, but you're totally submerged underwater. You're shirtless and in some swim shorts. So there's a really, it feels like the perfect tropical vacation plus like adventure man situation.
Yeah,
you do. I mean, you look like a Big Daddy from Bioshock if a Big Daddy was half naked.
if I look like a Big Daddy from BioShock, if he aged out of being a Big Daddy, but still insisted on like patrolling Rapture. So now right. he's in like his like leg, his knees aren't what they used to be. So he's got to ride on the scooter, but he's still
sort of
like
the
roars.
Retirees version of the Big Daddy. They're like, yeah, let him exactly. go in the ocean. It's fine.
Guys, this is the video game humor that I don't understand, but our listeners have been clamoring for.
They're begging for it. This makes me also want a motorcycle that, I know I said the see-through box thing, but I feel like a motorcycle that is just perfectly suited to your body, that encases you entirely.
Custom. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
You don't have to be sitting like you're in a chair. You can be standing straight up with like perfect posture and just zipping down the road as you stand up directly straight, shoulders back, you know?
Yeah, sure. Or laying flat, as we talked about.
Yep.
Right,
like a Segway that goes all around you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. A perfectly encased Segway.
Yeah.
We're just bringing Segways back is what we want, actually.
You essentially become Gizmo Duck from DuckTales. Mort?
No.
Gizmo Duck? Mort? It feels like we're making motorcycles open source. So we're those software engineers who don't become billionaires because we came up with something. We said, here, have VLC. Like, right. Just take it.
Just from the kindness of our hearts.
Yeah.
Have the furry motorcycle outfit of your dreams.
Yeah. Which, that's the world I want to live in. You know, less capitalistic and...
more free-flowing ideas.
Yeah. Less predatory and more like, guys, get a furry cycle going.
Get a furry cycle going.
Why wouldn't
get
you?
Get a furry get cycle. Somehow I'm still going to end up in a Swedish prison, but... We did do this out of the kindness
well,
of
that's unrelated, house. Though.
No, not related to this.
You made a lot of people angry.
Yeah.
James, where can the people find you?
People can find me pretty much anywhere by searching James Willems, I guess. That's what I say now because I wasn't able to get my branding the same. There's dots and stuff. So I just search for James Willems. It's probably going to be me. If it's not me, it might be a guy who owns a berry farm or a cardiologist. Those aren't me. The other one is. That's how I'd recommend finding me.
I think all three of you should meet up for an afternoon hang.
Yeah.
I've tried to. I was like in Northern California and I was like, how far away am I from that berry farm? And, but it was like 4 hours and I was like, I'm not going to do that.
And you have a pod of your very own these days.
Yes, I do a podcast called Answer For It. It's a spinoff of a live show that I do occasionally that Ashley was in the very first one of.
I was.
But it's basically trivia. We call it a podcast for smart people, and then we misspell people. but that is hosted by the incredible Elise Willems. And we also have on Zach Anner and AJ Lacasio that she comes up with questions. She tosses them out to us. And they're generally obscure bibs and bobs from trivia stuff around the world. Who knows? Could be anything. And we generally don't know the answer. So we kind of trying to come up on the fly with funny answers. It's a really fun podcast and we're having a great time doing it. So yeah, check that out, Answer For It.
Nice. Yeah.
And do you want to pitch the Chatsworth James Angel wrestling?
And then
iteration?
if you like independent pro wrestling and you listen to this and you said, this guy sounds like he could fall on his back safely. I occasionally wrestle under the name James Angel at MPW, Millennial Pro Wrestling, out of Chatsworth, California. It's a lot of fun. They're probably on Instagram too. I would say just search for Millennial Pro Wrestling. Millennium Pro Wrestling. And then, that's another way. That's another outlet that I have for my fun creativity right now too. So.
Thanks for doing it, dude. You can find us on Rebrand the Podcast on Instagram. We also have a Patreon. You don't gotta join it. If you just want to be supportive in the way that you listen to the podcast and don't pay us money, that's also cool. But if you want to really support, you can find us at Rebrand the Pod on Patreon. Then you get access to our Discord where you get to, you know, mix it up with all the other fans. We just did a Q&A recently with Ashley and I. It was really fun, just a really cool hang. You get unreleased episodes. You get bonus content. You get ad-free episodes, stuff like that. And leave us glowing reviews on Apple and Spotify. Really go apeshit in
go
the reviews.
Nuts.
Yeah,
Lie if you need to.
Yeah, no, you don't have to have integrity about this. Yeah, talk about our like sexual charisma and our healing powers. And,
yeah, so. Really go nuts. Thanks for joining us, James.
Thanks, James.
No, thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Rebrand.